IFPRI Policy Seminar, From Good to Great, Bringing Impact to Scale at the World Food Program, held on May 22, 2012, in Washington, D.C. Speaker, Ertharin Cousin, the Executive Director at the World Food Program.
Thanks so much for that very kind introduction, Schenken. I truly appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And when we were talking about the subject, WFP, good to great, or great to greater, or great to fantastic, or I said, isn't it a bit premature for me to give that lecture? And I'll tell you why. Because I've been there now all of 6 weeks. And I have taken on the helm of the what I consider not just the largest humanitarian and food security organization, but the best humanitarian and food security organization. And I say that with a lot of pride, because this is an amazing opportunity to lead this organization during this period of time when the global community actually is paying attention and aware and care and investing in agricultural development, food security, the elimination of chronic global malnutrition. So to accept the leadership helm of an organization like WFP during this period is even more of a significant responsibility than it is at any other time, I believe, in our past and in immediate future. So what that meant for me was coming into this organization as a leader who believes that in order to truly lead, you must have people who will follow you, that I was, it becomes my responsibility not just to say, here's what I think is the way forward, and instead to drive the organization to embrace the opportunity for evolving and transforming the processes, the practices, the operations as we move forward. And so what that meant for me was taking this organization that reaches something on the tune of 95 million to 100 million people, beneficiaries per year, that operates in 77 countries, that has, depending upon who you talk to, something between 10,000 and 14,000 employees, consultants, national staff, volunteers who work with us around the world, to deliver 3.5 million metric tons of food on an annual basis, to say, how can we move forward together? So what that meant was bringing in, we now have McKinsey in the organization working with us to perform what we're calling a rapid organizational assessment, a diagnostic of what are the changes that we need to make in order to ensure that we move, we not just say we have moved from a food aid to a food assistance organization, as Schenken talks about us, but that we can perform as a food assistance organization at the same level of high quality, high value that the world has always come to anticipate from WFP on the ground in a food aid operation, that we bring that same level of value as a food assistance organization. So in order to do that, it meant that we should, that I should, not just walk in and say, here are the things that we need to do. Here's how we go from being where we are today to where we are tomorrow. Instead, you bring in a team that looks at all of the functions of the organization, both in the corporate office in Rome, in our liaison offices around the world, in our country offices where the work is performed, as well as the regional offices who support them, and determine what's working, where are opportunities, and how do we move forward? So basically, I'm 6 months too early on this talk, but I'm going to give it anyway, without at the same time being very, very disciplined, because I will give you some ideas about how I believe in a very high level manner that we will move forward, without giving you the specifics of the program or process changes that I believe that the ROA will suggest as the way in which we will move forward. And the reason for that is, as I said to the liaison office here earlier, I am determined to embrace discipline in my actions. Because as soon as I say, here is how I believe we move forward, it becomes the ED said, and the ED wants, and all of decisions will be colored by what people believe are the outcomes that I want to see from the process, as opposed to the outcomes that the organization should drive for. And the exciting thing about the recommendations that I'm anticipating from not just the rapid organizational assessment, but from the team, we have an organizational development team that we have impaneled to work with the ROA process and to take the diagnostic results and then to use those with the consultants to make recommendations to me and to the organization for how we move forward. And in order for that to happen, we needed to ensure that that ODT team was, that team included not just the same likely suspects. Every organization has this. Every time you say, give me the 10 leaders in the organization, the exact same list of 10 names comes forward. And so when I asked them to give me, to the leadership, I said, give me and identify for me an organizational development team, that name, list of 10 names that everybody that always comes forward came forward. And I said, you know, I've been here 3 days at this point. I know every name on this list. And if I know every name on this list, it means that it's the same people that always do everything. So instead of this 10 names, go back again. Give me 10 names of high talent. I want some younger people who are high talent, who are out in the field working, as well as the traditional old hands, like myself. and I want women. And so they came back, and they had amazed themselves. They said, you know, we've forgotten about blah, blah, blah person. You know, and when we went to the executive leadership, executive leadership assessment files, they were on the top of the list. And guess what? The list is now 60% women. And so for all of us who work in this arena to suddenly have a list of leaders that is not only reflective of geographic diversity and diversity of experiences between the corporate office and the field offices, but also, and as well as an age, but also 60% women, I think we're beginning to get it right. And so you have that team, and then they will make recommendations to me and to the other members of the leadership team of what are the recommendations that we should embrace as we move forward. And those recommendations will come in three buckets. And the three buckets are short-term, medium-term, and long-term. What are the short-term changes that we can make very quickly inside the organization that are either personnel changes, process changes, systems changes, organizational structural changes that don't require budget, don't require policy changes, and that we can do and implement very quickly. And those we will make. Then there are the medium-term changes. And those we will begin the process on as soon as possible, with a goal of focusing on completing that work within the next year. Then there are the longer-term changes that will require, some of them require deeper dives, We will require additional research into areas that we were talking about today, what partnerships work, what that we should think about, what are the kind of funding issues that we should think about, what are the policy, overarching policy issues that require deeper dives that may require us to come to other partners that will become part of the planning process for our next strategic plan, which we start the planning in 2013 for implementation 2014. So getting from good to great today is a process, first and foremost. And what it will look like at the end of that process, I can't tell you yet. But what I can tell you is that we embrace wholeheartedly as an organization that shift from food aid to food assistance to supporting not just the emergency needs, but the resilience needs of those that we serve and building resilience. And whatever the changes that we make in the organization as we move forward, they will be in line with us being the best at what we do in those areas. But it starts with mainstreaming and institutionalizing the new tools in the organization. Because anytime you have an organization like a WFP that has been great for 50 years at doing what it does, and that is bags of foods and counting bodies of people and getting the bags of food and the right food, to getting the food to those people, and you introduce new tools, new processes, you will have challenges. And so it becomes recognizing that we have a head and neck problem in parts of our organization between the new tool, between the work that we have always performed and the implementation of the new tools. And when I say head and neck, basically, we as an institution, our board, the headquarters, the leadership team, and even those in the field will tell you we move from food aid to food assistance. Now, if you go to a sub office in Niger and ask a national staff person what that means to their operation, they can't really tell you. Or if you tell them that in addition to moving food, you need a market analysis to support the capacity building activities with the local government to ensure that the cash and voucher programs is supportable at the end of the WFP program, they'll look at you and wonder. And that's our responsibility, though, is to ensure that we get beyond just a head understanding of the work and the opportunity that the new tools provide for us. So that we're ensuring that we are mainstreaming through the organization as well as with our partners. Because many times when we talk about new tools, people say, why is WFP doing that? That's not what WFP does. That's outside their core mandate. That's outside their responsibility. But we, WFP, would challenge our partners to say, but we have the ground strength, the penetration, the support, can provide the support at country level because of our relationship with our partners to perform in a way that no one else in the humanitarian community can. Around not just our traditional tools, but our new tools as well. But ensuring that we are knitted up better and better aligned with both our traditional partners like FAO, UNICEF, EFAD, UNHCR, as well as non-traditional partners like IFPRI, who can work with us on evaluation and building the right tools to ensure that we are performing effectively at country level, or private sector, or the governments themselves. So that's very much a part of how we mainstream and institutionalize our activities as we move forward. So, but all of that will require that we measure and report as well as monitor our activities in a way that gives us the evidence of the effectiveness of any activity that we perform on the ground. Because it is, again, it is one thing to talk about moving from food aid to food assistance. It's another thing to talk about getting the partnerships right as we move forward. But if we cannot demonstrate through quantifiable evidence the value of our work in these areas, we will not receive the support from either our donors or the countries that we serve for our participation in any of these programs. So that is a mantra that everyone inside of WFP, where I have not been disciplined about what the ED wants as we move forward, is very much increasing our ability to effectively measure, monitor, and report on our effectiveness at country level, regardless of what the tool is that we are implementing. So all of that, though, is very much focused on our institutional capacity. And I was asked by one of our CEO partners was, what was my goal for the first year? And I said at the top of my priority list was building the institutional capacity of this organization to ensure that we are effectively performing the responsibilities of the organization, the mandated responsibilities of this organization. Because you can't move forward with the other pieces if the institutional processes are not aligned appropriately, are not operating efficiently and effectively. So that's first and foremost. But as Shingen noted, we don't have the luxury of navel gazing and focusing solely on our institutional capacity, because we are called upon to perform in an ever more complex world. And so while I would appreciate the opportunity if everything in the world would stop and allow us to just get ourselves right and our partnerships right and all of our processes right while we plan and how we move forward, I live in the real world and there's no reality to that. And so we must simultaneously continue to perform to ensure that we are meeting the needs of a more complex world, that in the challenges of responding to more complex emergencies and situations. So I don't want anyone to leave here saying that WFP is focused only internally. We get it. We understand it. We understand that we don't have that luxury. And part of not having that luxury is ensuring that we have the ability to, first and foremost, perform in emergency situations at the quality level and that the global community expects when they invest their dollars in WFP as their partner in response to crisis situations. That's the first thing that we must always ensure that we are getting right. So as we are focusing on all of the activities that I've previously described, we're also identifying our operational challenges that we have, in some cases, effectively overcome to ensure that we provide the level of service and support that donors expect, and in other cases where we have not, and where we have work to do. But that work also requires that we simultaneously are always forward-leaning. What do I mean when I say that? Take Afghanistan, for instance. As NATO met this week and committed that they were leaving, that NATO would leave Afghanistan by a date certain, what does that mean for WFP and for the humanitarian community that is going to be required to continue to meet the needs of an ever-growing population of hungry, poor people? That are, or that one would argue, are going to be even have more food insecure as NATO pulls out because of lack of access to, or the availability of, nutritious food in the market, with less space for humanitarian activity. So we have a responsibility to begin now with all of you, our partners in this room, identifying those challenges and hurdles and creating the ability, the tools that will help us overcome those challenges and hurdles. Now, what are the risks that are involved? And how can we, if not diminish those risks, how do we work through them and how do we communicate them to our donors now? Because this is one of those situations that going into it, we recognize that there are going to be significant challenges in our ability to perform. The risk levels are going to be very high. The risk of loss on many fronts that you could all identify. We could have a very interesting and honest conversation about this. But that becomes very much a part of WFP performing in what is expected as the traditional space in which WFP operates, to ensure that we can perform not just in quick onset emergency, but those longer term and slow onset emergencies. Because that's what Afghanistan's going to become over the next 2 years. And shame on us if we don't begin to plan for it now. And so having the ability to assess and identify the challenges and begin to identify the operating activities that will ensure that we can meet the needs of the population with the right tools, at the right time, for the targeted population that we will serve for a longer term period of time. So that's a big part of how we move forward as well. And then you can substitute Horn of Africa for Afghanistan, Sahel for Afghanistan, Pakistan for Afghanistan, name the country. We need to ensure that we are participating not just as WFP, but WFP in partnership with the other members of the other relevant members of the humanitarian community in the how do we go forward. One of the conversations that we were having earlier today was how do we assess the challenges and recognize and how do we communicate those challenges and begin to plan for them early on. That becomes a big part of what all of this means when we talk about institutional change for performance, partnerships for performance, right systems. All of that feeds into our ability as a community and as a leader in this space in this community to achieving the desired results, and that is ensuring that the hungry poor has access to food at the times, at the place, when they need it. So as I look at the material that they wanted me to cover with you here today, I'm skipping a lot of it because I want to quickly move through some of this, because what I'd much rather do with our time together today is hear from you about your thoughts on how WFP can best move forward, because we are very much in that planning stage process. And I'd also like to hear about your concerns and issues about anything that I'm saying or things that I haven't said. Because many of the facts here that are outlined in this presentation are things that many of you in this audience wrote. So, and we're responsible for collecting the data to support. So for me to come here and to repeat to you the facts and figures of the status of where we are as a global community on addressing the food security needs of those who are our stakeholder population, shame on me, not a good use of my time or yours. The better use of my time is to give you exactly what I'm telling you, and that is what we believe is our way forward as we begin to start this process, and our commitment to you that we will be your partner, and we are a partner, and we do see that there's opportunity for us to better align our performance with the needs of those that we serve. So there's a couple of things though that before I do open this up for questions, I want to make sure that you heard from me. And one of them was that we recognize what our first and foremost responsibility, and that is that we get it right in emergencies, regardless of whether, what kind of emergencies and where it's located. So you've heard that from me. The other one is on partnerships, and you've heard that from me, and are recognizing the responsibility that we have to ensure that we are not just a partner, but the best partner on the work that we have the responsibility to perform of getting the providing food assistance to the hungry poor. Because far too often we give lip service to the term partnerships, but we don't really recognize what that means in the planning of our programs, the implementation of those programs, and the assessments of an evaluation of the work that we perform and how we learn lessons, not just internally, but as a community. So hearing that from me is another issue that I want to make sure that I didn't leave here today without addressing with you. The other is acknowledging that we must become, as a community, more efficient, effective, transparent in the work that we perform. It is no longer good enough to get it done. And we all say this. And at the end of every operation, we remain challenged in how we effectively reach the toughest population that we serve. How we make our systems more efficient to ensure that we are not repeating the mistakes of the past at the cost of the dollars that we're investing today. And so taking that to heart in the development of both our internal activities as well as our external relationship building becomes important. I hear you when people say to me that WFP is the most expensive operator, an expensive program that they can invest in. And we have a responsibility to address that issue. And I know all my WFP people in here are cringing as I say this. But it's the reality. The other reality is we have partners who say it is too expensive for me to partner with WFP. That I can't raise the money that it requires to implement programs for WFP. Those are the kind of conversations we don't usually have when it's a webcast event. But it's a reality. And shame on me if I come in with this opportunity as ED having served in a different capacity and when was critical of WFP and not work to address the issues. So opening wide-eyed open on those issues that you grumble about us in closed meetings and that we talk to you about in dark corners. But if we're going to begin to address those issues, we have a responsibility to perform the work that I've talked to you about internally first, and then we must have realistic conversations with our partners. So another activity that will occur is we will have an NGO forum, an implementing partner forum, that is different this year than the ones that we've had in the past, where it is not just about presentations. What we really want, and I've already begun to talk to some of the larger international NGOs about their participating with us on developing the agenda for this program, is an opportunity to look at what are the challenges that we have and how we work together, and how do we begin to address those challenges. And I am not going to suggest this is something that we will accomplish in one meeting or in one year, but we will begin to see a path forward to how we address that issue. Because if we are going to build, as I have committed that we will do, the WFP that not only is the best organization and a great organization today, but the best and great organization for the 2050, then we must get those kind of tough issues right. Because we can't perform this work without strong partnerships. What makes us strong in the field are the relationships that we have with our partners in the field. So I am going to turn the light on that one. And we're going to have some very tough conversations, even if my staff won't let me come in the office afterwards. So, the final issue that I want to cover before I open this up for questions is another one of those very difficult, we talk about it in hushed voices, issues, and that is, how can we get more bang for our buck? We have increased the income to WFP, but we have not increased significantly the number of people that we serve. And there's a lot of reasons why for that. But there's also a recognition that the world needs more from us. So we can't continue to grow the organization if we're not growing for the benefit of serving more hungry, poor people. And that doesn't necessarily mean more food to more people. It may mean better use of our services of capacity building to assist governments in how they provide more food to hungry people. It may mean better use of our partnerships so that we can expand beyond just the population that we serve to the population that is benefited by the service. For example, when we talk about P4P, if we truly build a P4P program that is more than a pilot, it will require that we move beyond WFP as the buyer for the harvest of the smallholder farmers that we serve. WFP should be a catalyst for creating opportunities for those smallholders to sell to a commercial market buyer. And if we can do that, we have the opportunity to impact more off-farm businesses, more opportunities for urban buyers to potentially have access to foods that are supplied by smallholders who benefit from support from a P4P program. So more bang for our buck is going to be a mantra that you will hear from WFP as we continue to move forward. So as I conclude, let me say that I look forward to coming back a year from now and saying, here's what I told you we were going to do. Here's what we accomplished, and having you all nod your heads like you're doing now when I tell you about the things we need to fix, that here's what we accomplished, and here's how we move forward. And that you will acknowledge that we're moving in the right direction, that we are moving from good to great, but more importantly, that we're moving from good to great for the benefit of those we serve, and we're beginning to see the path forward to responding to the food security needs of the hungry poor that we serve together around the world. So I look forward to beginning this relationship, which we're starting today for some of you, and to continue this conversation for the period of my mandate at WFP, and as I said, most importantly, for the opportunity to work together with you. I thank you, and I'm open for questions. And as you can see, I'm not afraid of tough questions. So go right ahead. All right. Thanks.